Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Please remember to like, follow, and subscribe to get notifications when a new episode drops. Oh my gosh, today is the most amazing show. I want to tell you, I want to follow up with a little story that I gave you a sneak peek of last week that I was going to surprise Charlotte and her friend, and David and I were going to take them to the Grand Hyatt, whatever, Indian Wells, whatever it is, hotel, which I knew it was pricey. It's something that I thought would be really fun to do because Charlotte, she loves surprises. Last year, we took her to Palm Springs at another place, and it surprisingly had a little water slide, and she was all about it, and she's been asking me if we were ever going to go back. So I thought, well, instead of this tiny little water slide, let's do this whole big, supposedly it's this, you know, water park. I mean, I feel that the term water park is a generous thing. It's two slides. It does have a lot of pools. It has a splash pad. It has like 7 pools and like 2 jacuzzis. It has a splash pad. It has a lazy river. The lazy river is awesome. It does have 2 slides, but to say water park, I was thinking like Magic Mountains, like Hurricane Harbor or like Wet n' Wild or whatever these water parks were. And it wasn't like that, but it was fine. It was great. It is very expensive though. And here's the thing. I have to remember to stay in my financial lane, which is very tiny. By the way, it's not even a bike lane. It's a Vespa lane. It's so tiny. And we get there on Sunday afternoon or early afternoon. And we asked if we could just go to the pool before we can check in, because here's another pet peeve of mine before I get into my story. I feel that I want to file a class action lawsuit against hotels because I absolutely do not believe that I should check in at 4 o'clock and have to check out at 10 o'clock the next morning when you're paying, I don't even care if you're paying $100, if you're paying $12. This was a $400 a night hotel, which I never stay at because I'm in a Vespa lane. I'm in a small Hot Wheel car lane. And this is like, to me, just crazy. But it's like, why are you don't even get 24 hours. I mean, essentially you get like 16 hours. I mean, like 17 hours. Like, that's so stupid. And it makes me mad. And I feel they rip you off. And same thing with the whole Airbnb thing and all of that. I understand it's a hotel and you got to get people in and out. But if you're paying $400 a night, I do think you should get a full day. And I feel that way, even if you're staying at Joe Schmo's Inn on the corner of Murder and Guns. It doesn't matter where you're staying. It's just the principle. And I really feel I'm going to do that one day. It's on my list. Anyways, we check in. They let us, you know, they said we can go to the water park. So we're going to walk up and just say, hey, can we go to the water park? The guy's like, let me check you in. But I thought he just wanted my information. And then, you know, we would have our room cards. And when we're ready, we could go. And he's like, oh, no, you can go up to the room now. It was like 1 o'clock. So that was great. So we did get a couple extra hours. Anyways, we go down. The girls are ready to party. David and I we're just here to be here. I'm telling you, part of the reason, besides that we wanted to invite her little bestie, her lifelong bestie, is because she has a buddy that I don't have to take all the bullets all the time. And David loves this kind of stuff. He loves water slides. He'll do all that. And so I just kind of wanted to just lay for like an hour and just get some skin cancer. I just wanted to be toasty and have a good tan. And it's fine. So then it's lunch. We're like, hey, girls getting hungry? And they're like, yeah. And so we get 2 kitty little chicken tenders with like 6 french fries, and one of them gets like chicken tenders with like watermelon, which is like five slices. And then I get a wrap and David gets a burger and David and I each get an adult beverage. And it was $150. And I almost died because I just was like, this is the kids' menu. It's $150. We haven't done anything. This isn't gourmet. This isn't whatever. It's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. Fine. It's $35 to park your car for overnight. Fine. It's fine. We get back to the room later on. The girls are like, oh my gosh, I want to watch Minecraft. Even though Charlotte went to the movie theater and we spent money. She went with a friend, but they spent money to go see Minecraft. I'm going to spend $25 for them to watch it in the room because it makes them happy. And I also wanted to lay down and not hear mommy watch this, which I love Charlotte dearly, but there's only so many dance moves I can see without like just kind of crying silently to myself. They watched the movie. I actually ended up falling asleep partly because the sun was very toasty and I had a couple drinks out by the pool. So I took a little siesta, which was great. Then they wanted to go to Olive Garden for dinner. Fine, whatever. It's like $100. Fine. Then the next morning, Monday morning, David is not a morning person. And I will continue to say this in every single episode because it is my biggest pet peeve of his. It's just like, there's little girls here. Get your fucking shit together. You have to wake up every morning. And I brought you here saying, remember, there's little girls. They're going to start whispering and thinking they're talking really quiet while they're under the covers laughing and all of this. But he didn't want to wake up. So I just said, well, you know what? I'm going to order room service because all we were going to do was go down to that same, you know, restaurant. So Charlotte gets plain pancakes. It's three pancakes. You get zero sides, not one essence of egg, not a pretend piece of bacon, not a anything, not a country potato, a sliced potato, a whole potato, nothing. It's three pancakes, butter, and syrup. And I get a side of bacon, and her friend Darla gets blueberry pancakes, and I get a piece of toast that is with butter and jam, because jam is my jam. I love jam. And that was it. It was $97. And I didn't even get fucking jam. And I didn't get the jam. And I didn't get butter. But the girls didn't really want butter on their pancakes. They just wanted a little. So they were able to share their butter with me. So David's kind of waking up. And I mean, I'm kind of waking him up. But he's slowly coming to life because he's, you know, ugh. So not a morning person. But anyways, I'm like, hey, just so you know, once you get up and you're functioning, you're eating the rest of the girls' fucking pancakes. You're putting those motherfuckers in your pocket and you're taking them home. And he's like, oh, what'd you get? And I tell him and he's like, was it like $50? I'm like, no, it wasn't like $50. It was $97. And he goes, why didn't you wake me up? I would have just driven to McDonald's. And I'm like, I did wake you up. I fucking woke you up two times and I said, the girls are going to start getting hungry and you rolled the fuck over. So yeah, that was that. Then, oh man, this was like a fucking, I wanted to shoot myself in the face, but I didn't because I do like my eyes and I didn't want them to be destroyed. So later on in the day, we go back down to the pool. The girls eat their breakfast. We go down to the pool. Mind you, I had my toast with no jam. We go down to the pool again. We're going to hang out for like 3-4 hours and then we're going to head back. But while I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, David, do you think we should go on that aerial tram thing? Because I've literally gone to Palm Springs my whole life, like every year since I was like 8 years old, for the most part. And, I've never been, and he's never been. Clearly, the girls have never been. So we're like, let's go. Let's just do it. Let's just spend an insane amount of money in like less than 24 hours of time. So fine, great. So I go on. I'm in the sun, but I kind of put the towel over so I can see my phone, and I book us the tickets. So it's four, you know, two adult, two kids. It's $107. Fine. We're gonna go. It doesn't have a time. It just says join us. So I go and I'm walking over to the pool to tell David, like, hey, I got the thing. And as I'm pulling the screenshot up, because I take a screenshot of everything I do because I'm always paranoid that I'm not going to get the email or whatever. And I look, and in my brain, this has never happened. In my mind, I was trying to remember, you know, when you notice something, I noticed that the date was for Tuesday and not Monday that I booked. And I'm like, but I looked on the thing and the website, the calendar, when you pulled up the calendar, it just defaulted to the next day. And I always see it defaults to the day you're on. And then you change whatever. So I would have never, I never paid attention. I was in the sun, whatever, my fault, my bad. So I tell David, I'm like, God, I fucked up. And he's like, well, when we get there, we'll just tell him. I'm like, okay. So we rally up the girls, pack this 500 things for less than 24 hours, 7 million things. And we go and we're driving there and we pull up to the parking thing, which is going to be $15. I'm just telling you the price just so you understand what a 24 hour maybe 28-hour span of time is just ridiculous. It's going to be $15, fine. But David tells the guy, hey, we have a question. And I pull up my thing, and I'm like, I accidentally booked it for tomorrow, but is there a way we can just, like, come today because we're here today? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that it just didn't automatically just go to the day I'm on. It went to tomorrow. He's like, I'm sorry, no, we don't do that. I'm like, so we're just not, what are we supposed to do? He's like, I don't know. He's like, but you know what? He's like, turn around and right behind us where the sign says speed limit 25, that's where the best cell service is because we're starting to go into like the mountains. He's like, go there and call the number, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. So I call, I talk to this guy. Hey guy, how's it going? Here's the situation. I booked the wrong day. We're here right now. I was wondering if we can just switch from tomorrow to today. He's like, no, it's sold out. I'm like, well, okay, how is it sold out? Because there's like no times. There's no like whatever. He's like, I'm sorry, no. I'm like, okay, well, can I get a refund? He's like, oh no, you missed the window. I'm like, I just booked this 4 hours ago. I didn't know there was a window. And he's like, there's a window. You missed the window. I'm like, so, okay, if we can't get a refund and we can't go today, can I get like a credit so we can come another time? Maybe who knows when, you know, whatever. He's like, no, we don't do that. He goes, we will, but I need a date. I'm like, and David and I are like looking at each other like, I'm like, I don't have a date. Like September, I have no fucking clue. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow. Like, everything is so chaotic in our schedules. And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, yeah, then I can't help you. He's like, I will try to I go, so wait a minute. I just paid $107 that I'm just going to lose forever into the world of wherever because I'm here. It says it's sold out. It doesn't say on the website it was sold out. And we got tickets. And he says, I'll try to put in a refund, but I'm going to be honest with you. You probably won't get it. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks. In the meantime, David is purple red and he's like, tell him we're going to take him to small claims court. And I'm like, okay, thanks, guy. And he's like, why didn't you tell him? He's like, from now on, everything goes to small claims court if we get fucked. And I'm like, okay, great. So we drove away and I'm like, sorry, girls. They're like, it's okay. They really probably didn't give a shit. I just thought it would be something fun to do. But that was our weekend of the girls had a great time. We had fun. It was really fun, but it was just so expensive. I was like, oh my God, we were talking about going on a trip. And I'm like, Jesus, I was thinking the trip would be like $2,000. I spent $1,000 in 24 hours almost. That's fucking insane for nothing exciting. So anyways, we're not doing anything for a long time. And that's my surprise story, but she was very surprised. She went with her lifelong friend. They have a great time together. And it's super fun, and it was fine. But that was our day. We came home, and I've just like laid on the bed for a minute, just like, wow, I'm gonna have to sell a kidney to pay for this day. Anyways, that was funny, great time. Charlotte, you know, she's great. She's so cute. She's adorable, and that's what it's all about. Her. I'm not gonna rain on her. I'm not gonna rain on her sparkle. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. Okay, so I haven't really talked about organizing in a while, but a couple of things I wanted to touch on, which, again, a lot of this stuff I can really just talk about and dive in for forever, honestly. I know I've mentioned a lot that people don't know where to start. And it doesn't even start with that necessarily we're there in the room and they don't know where to start, or they go in their own room before they reach out for help and, you know, assistance kind of, they just don't know where to start. But one of the things is it's not just like, where do I start in the room? It's sometimes people will reach out to me and ask me questions and I don't hear from them for a year and a half. It's where you start when you're ready. Like every single person in the world hits a threshold with something. So whether it's,
your relationship is over. Your relationship, your marriage is over. You're done feeling fat. You got to get in those jeans. You're going to fucking just stop, you know, eating junk. You hate your job. You hit your threshold. You're like, I can't take this anymore. I know I have to work. I get it. And a lot of us don't even want to work, but we have to. But you want it to be a place that you don't wake up in the morning like wanting to cry. And that is, you hit your threshold. And people, when you have, they invite me into their home, usually they've hit their threshold. They're ready. They need help. A lot of times there's tension between like the spouses, husband and wife. Like the wife is like, we need help. We have kids. We have this. When do we have the time to do this? Like to really dive in without help. Also, you're emotionally attached to this, some of the stuff, you know? And like I said, in some cases, the husband's super attached to stuff. And in other cases, the wife in different capacities. Typically, you don't see both spouses that are kind of, I don't want to say hoarders because that's a very generic term. A lot of people say, oh, I'm a hoarder. No, you're not. Go in a house that has fingernail clippings and hair and they've never thrown anything away since the late 50s. That's a hoarder. You having, you know, extra stuff, you know, okay, we'll talk about it. If you can't walk in your house, you're a hoarder. Not you have piles of stuff and you can't believe it. But there's, everybody hits their threshold. Everybody takes, it takes time. Sometimes the starting point is actually reaching out for help. And it sounds like, it's not like I'm trying to be like all, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, like reaching out for help and seeing this, but it is, it's, you know, it clouds your mind. When you have a lot of stuff and it's endless stuff and it's chaos in your brain and you work and your husband works and your kids have 50 million activities and they're younger, they still need you around. You can't just be like, hey, you can, you know, go to your friend's house and I'm not going to worry about you for 2 days. Like, it's not like that. You have a young kid, young kids. It's hard and it's a hard, and that's a place to start. And another thing is reaching out is pretty special for me because you're ready. Now you're ready. You may fight me on certain things. You may not want to get rid of stuff. And a lot of people think I'm just going to go in there and just start chucking shit. Like I don't, that's not at all what an organizer does. That is not what I do. Yes, if I have a relationship with you and I've helped you for years, I will joke with you. Like, they're like, where should I put this? And I'll be like, in the trash or in the donation pile. You know, I joke with people, but really the reaching out part is a really good big first step. That's really the first step. So I'm going to just touch on closets. I'm going to touch on master bedroom closets. Typically it's, and not always, but typically the woman is the one that, you know, she has 500 million things in her closet and the guy maybe has like two hang bars and a, you know, a set of drawers. That's about it. Because usually t-shirts, underwear, whatever. And then hanging, he has like two shirts he dresses up once a year with and switches them out. It's the woman who has, you know, it's, she has, and then you have these houses that have these fucking insane closets, like amazing closets. $50,000 you're paying for have this custom closet just to put your $500,000 worth of clothes in, you know, name brands, all of this. And that's, you know, that's what's important for you. Then please, we're going to make it sing. And even if you have one hang bar, guess what? I'm going to make it sing in the same capacity. Doesn't matter what you have. One of the things in these larger closets, and actually both closets too, is a lot of times we get stuff and we're like in the middle of something, we just set it down in the closet and it kind of hides out and goes underneath the clothes. Underneath the clothes. And then what happens? You forget about it, or it gets pushed to the back. Or, you know, some people remember, but a lot of times I'll see stuff that, like, I forgot I even bought that. I mean, so you can only imagine how crazy if you have a closet that's as big as a master bedroom. I have people that have two major closets, like walk in, sit down, have a chair. You could have they have chandeliers. They have, I mean, it's crazy. And then the husband will have like the same size closet. He may not have as much clothes, but he'll have the same size closet and they're packed because maybe the wife's stuff has trickled over into there. And then you have people that have one hang bar and, you know, a shelf on top and that's it. And that's fine. It's good to go. But stuff gets lost in there. And so one of the things I have mentioned a million times and I will continue to mention is I will touch everything. I touch every single thing. Unless you say, please don't touch this, I will touch everything. So everything, same as the garage, I always start on the floor first. I take every single thing that is on the floor, bags, you know, piles of shoes that maybe aren't in on the shelves or whatever. Everything that is just on the floor, you can't walk. I mean, you should see the closets. I'll go in to closets where I'm like mid-shin of clothes that they try on and just throw on the floor. The other thing I noticed too, and I didn't know this was a thing, is I really didn't know this was a thing because I am so anal with certain things. How many people hang up stuff inside out? I didn't know that was a thing, but it's at like 80% of the houses. Like the stuff will be inside out. I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like I have to make everything like perfect and line up and everything, but it's inside out or, you know, you try it on, you throw it on the floor. That's the stuff I bring out. I make a staging area and we kind of go through that first. And then it's like they just went shopping. They're like, I forgot about this. And I'll look at the receipt. It's from a year ago. So they've had this stuff sitting in a big, you know, Zara bag or whatever the bag is, full of shit. Didn't even know. Or they'll put like kids stuff, their kids, maybe they went clothes shopping for their kids and they threw it in their closet. Now the kids outgrown that size. I mean, that's how lost it gets in the shuffle of stuff. So it's like, I always want to try to make these areas and really your whole house, but I say closets because it is, you want to make it shoppable. I mean, I was at a client's house yesterday that I've been helping for about, I don't know, maybe three and a half years. She clearly is a shopaholic. She knows she's a shopaholic. I've actually gave her information how to seek help for maybe kind of figuring that out. I also know that there's probably some tension between her and her spouse because of her shopping. And it's not necessarily lavish shopping. I mean, it's not that she's buying, you know, Gucci this and Gucci that, but it all adds up. I mean, she may be buying, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. It's, she has a shopping problem. And it's to the point where I had to say to her yesterday, listen, I love you. I absolutely adore her. She is an amazing woman. She's a fantastic mom. But when I go there, and yes, she keeps me in business, of course. I don't want to solve all the problems of the world, then I'm not needed. But I will say this, I don't want to keep taking her money to not see a solution or see something that can help, because all I'm doing is the same exact thing every time I go there because she shops so much. So what happens is we'll do a purge. She's very resistant on getting rid of stuff. She's gotten better, but to me, half of her stuff can go, you know, whatever. There's no way as a human being, forget that she has kids. She does do, so, you know, her husband, they do date night. She goes out with friends and stuff. And yeah, she does stuff socially. She's not just like, she works from home for the most part. So why does she have two full closets of work clothes when you work from home? And now in this daytime, this world we live in, even if you're not working from home, rarely, unless you're like a lawyer, you know, you're kind of wearing more business casual, you know, nice, maybe nice pants. Some people wear denim and nice shirts and maybe some heels, whatever it is. You don't need all these suits and stuff. No one's wearing that stuff anymore. And you don't even go in the office, but maybe one day a week and you're wearing like a sweater and pants. I mean, just business casual, nice. You look put together, but you're not wearing all this crazy shit. It's not like it was. So it's like, why do you have, you know, and I have this thing too, and it's maybe a little tick of mine. I count. When I see a lot of stuff, I count so I can say, hey, just so you know, just letting you know, you have 154 pairs of jeans, not including colored jeans. So 100, when you have two legs and two butt cheeks, why do you need 154 pairs of jeans? And yes, there are some various shades of blue, but a lot of them are the same. It's like dark, medium, and light. I mean, maybe slim. I mean, there's so many things. And I'm like, how? You cannot physically wear this. Also, you don't leave the house during the week. You're home. If you go pick up your kid, you're in just whatever clothes you're wearing around the house. You're not wearing work clothes when you're sitting at your computer. You're maybe wearing a nice top and sometimes pajama bottoms. Who knows when you're doing like a Zoom call or whatever. She definitely has an issue. And the part that makes me sad, and not for her, she knows, but she's not there yet, I guess, is what I'm saying. She, you know, she's like, well, I cut back. I told her one time, try not to buy anything for 1 month, just 1 month, 1 month. That includes, unless you need like toilet paper and like toothpaste, try not to buy anything from Target, from wherever you're getting your stuff, whatever you're doing. try not to do it for 1 month and just see. Just go through the stuff you have. I mean, forget clothes. Think of all the other stuff, the 7,000, you know, makeup items you have that are still wrapped and you don't even know you have them. Stuff under the bed that's like, oh, these are gift items or items I'm going to use that I've been seeing for 3 years, you know? So it's like, I pay attention and I'm really cautious of trying to. Every person is different. Everybody's story is different. Hers is, she is a shopaholic. She's an amazing human being. I'm not taking away from that. But I feel bad sometimes where I'm like, my solution is, this is what we have to do unless we burn it all to the ground. And yesterday's solution was, I'm like, you have so much stuff. She can't even really put her laundry away. So on top of that, if she has 2 weeks of laundry, it sits on this like bench in front of the bed. You can't sit. The idea was the bench was you put your shoes on there, right? Or you're sitting down, maybe you're putting your socks on, whatever. You can't even do that because it's shoulder high of laundry that you can't put away because there's no room anywhere. I mean, I've robbed Peter to pay Paul a million times. I've moved, I've refolded, I've done, you know, if she decides to get rid of something, it's like one shirt. It's really hard. So I said to her, and I see this a lot in other people's homes as well. I got these like storage bags for clothes and I pulled out anything that was like a sweater, anything like winter sweater, winter like kind of scarves, anything winter out of her closet, which already her closet, you forget the laundry you can't put in. You cannot shop this closet. You cannot pull out a hanger without pulling out like six hangers just to see that one shirt you wanted. So you can't shop it. And if you thinned it out, you'd be like, holy shit, I have a really great closet. I have clothes I can wear. And it's hard because I feel bad. And so I said to her, this is what I did. I pulled out just to kind of get some room for your laundry. I pulled out all the winter and, you know, we're starting to get warm. And as we know in California, or in Southern California, at least, I mean, we're talking like it's warm through September, October, usually. So, and when I say warm, you're not wearing a turtleneck, big chunky sweater. She was in a kind of a mild panic because she's like, well, how will I see these sweaters? I'm like, they're in a storage, like a clothing storage bag. Let's take them upstairs. She has kind of like it's like an attic. I mean, I wouldn't like hang out in there, but she actually had a closet built in there. And then she has a rack of clothes and then there's like a shelving unit. I'm like, maybe we put the sweaters up there. She's like, well, how am I going to see them? I'm like, you're not going to see them for probably 5 months. I really doubt you're going to need a sweater. Like, you have long sleeve stuff. I didn't take all the long sleeve. I just took the thick sweaters that are space, you know, killers. They just, it's a ton of space. I filled three of those bags in like maybe 5 minutes. I could have done five more. I mean, that's how much stuff she had. And she was in an absolute panic about, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I won't be able to see the sweaters. I'm like, you're not going to be wearing them for 5 months and you can't really see them now. Like, we've moved. She spent like $4,000 to have two closets built with just like one big long hang bar, one in this attic area that's, you know, a little skeevy. I'm always afraid there's going to be like spiders and rats and but there hasn't been. And then in this closet that they have, she just made it one big long hang bar instead of it was like two short ones and she just needed one big long one. Spent like $4,000 and I'm like, we're spending all this money on, you're spending all this money on these closets and still another 20% of your clothes are just literally on the bench or they're hanging on their bed. On the bedpost, they have like a four-post bed. They're hanging on one of the bedposts, all of like dresses that don't fit. She probably has between 250 to 300 dresses. I'm like, when are you wearing all these? And I know they're cute. And I know a lot of it is the thrill of the buy. You feel like you're going somewhere nice. You're maybe going to have date night. Maybe you haven't felt good in your own skin for a while. You go and you see an outfit and you feel fucking good. You feel good. You look good. You feel good. All of those things. And I get it. But there's a point where you go, you know what? I need to shop my closet because some of these hang bars are like the length of a wall and the doors don't even open that whole distance. So it's like, how are you even seeing this stuff? You're not. So what happens? It gets lost in the vortex, right? So it's like, and then you're spending money. You keep buying, you keep buying. I see this in so many houses. You keep buying, you keep buying. You maybe didn't know. And then you realize that you had some of the stuff she's buying, she has duplicates and triplicates of because she didn't know she had it. And she's like, oh, well, at least I know my taste is right. I love this skirt or I loved this dress or whatever. And it's like you have, you know, you don't even know what you have. We won't even talk about shoes. I mean, she has, I counted, not exact, but I got these containers for her shoes, these shoe boxes that we put them in, and then I made a label of what it was so she can see, because they're kind of frosted, but she's on this thing where she doesn't know what it is, so she needs to see. So I'm like, I'm going to put a label on there so you can see. I mean, we bought, I want to say, maybe 200 of these boxes, and she still has shoes that don't fit. She still has probably another 30 that I noticed yesterday. Maybe she's bought, or maybe they were just in other areas that don't fit in these boxes. We have to buy more. Well, remember, if you have 50 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag, you're not, there's not a lot I can do. I can work miracles and I can do certain things, but man, with her yesterday, and I just saw the absolute panic in her voice when she's like, how can I see these sweaters if I want to wear them? And I'm like, well, when it starts to be like beginning of October, we can pull these down and maybe take some of the other stuff out, or we can do like a switch. And she didn't, you could tell she was really struggling with that. And I don't want to hide stuff. I don't want stuff to be in bags that you have to go through. But the reality is, I said to her, I'm like, I cannot help you put this stuff away because there's no space. So, and she's like, well, just so you know, I got rid of a bag or two yesterday. And I'm like, I believe you. I'm not doubting you. But when you think about it, you got rid of two trash bags of clothes that you took over to, you know, donation. And we can't even tell. It did not make any dent, not one dent. I mean, maybe, I don't even know. Part of me thinks that stuff was maybe on the floor. I mean, like, I have no idea. Her drawers, I mean, I have all the stuff that makes your drawers look amazing. I fold everything perfect. But when your drawers are so full, you cannot close them, you cannot open them, and you have, you know, 25 pairs of, you know, socks with like sushi and like ducks on them, like, when? Again, I go back to, if you yell fire, what are you taking? You're not taking your sushi socks. I promise you. You're not taking your ducky socks, your sushi socks, or your taco socks. You're not. Unless you're wearing them, you're not. So I really do try to listen, and everybody is different. Some people push back. She doesn't have as much pushback with like, hey, maybe we need to do this, or hey, maybe we need to do that, but just the idea that she keeps bringing stuff in the house, and she's going on a trip next week. Oh, this was the other thing. And I pointed out, and I do it in a funny, laughing, like, I absolutely love her. She knows that. There's no judgment, but I'm also trying to make a point to her. So she's going on a trip on like an African safari next week. And with a safari, you know, one of those safaris, you know, you can only, they give you a list, like you can't wear dark clothes. Everything has to be like linen. So like the bugs don't connect, like tsetse flies or whatever fucking crazy shit is out there, which I would love to go, but I have such a fear of bugs and shit. I don't feel that would be relaxing. My jam is more of a beach, laying on a beachy area with like drinks and like not really doing a whole lot, or going to Europe and just doing everything in Europe. But I don't want to wake up with like a mosquito net of bugs. Okay, she wants to do that. A lot of people do. More power to you. However, you have to wear certain clothes, linens and different colors, light colors, kind of neutral colors. You can't even wear any like real print. So she's showing me the list and she's like, well, I went to this store and this is what I got. What do you think? So she's showing me, you know, some like light linen pants, like all this stuff, right? And I'm looking and I said, and I'm thinking in my mind, because I help her fairly regularly. And I was thinking in my mind, I've seen these colors. So I go over to this dresser kind of thing that we utilize. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be 100% for the office, but we had to utilize it for some of her clothes. And I open it up and there's an entire drawer of linen pants in neutral colors with the tags still on them. And I pulled them out and I said, why did you buy? You have a whole drawer of this. Why didn't even look in there? I said, well, that's where your pants are. We had decided we were going to put pants in these drawers in the office. Like, I didn't even think about it. So I held out of all the pants she had. There were 12 pairs in the drawer. 7 of those pants could be worn on her trip. And she just went and spent a couple $100 on pants. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be your mom. If you can have millions of dollars, it doesn't matter. You can have dollars or millions of dollars. Doesn't matter. The point is, it kind of is sad to buy stuff to then watch us purge it and throw it out. Yes, we give it and donate it, but you want to be able to enjoy the stuff. And those are just some things when you are work, when I'm working on your closet and working on your behaviors and some of the little nuances, the little things that I see. I always joke with people too, and I've mentioned this before, like in the garage, but especially in the closet, like I wear this all the time. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm like, you don't. You just lied to my eyeballs. And they're like, no, I didn't. I'm like, that's my fold. I was here 4 months ago. That's my fold. You don't wear it all the time because I know how I fold. And a lot of people don't, I mean, you don't fold like me. I have a background of a million things. I fold with my eyes closed and it's usually in line and fairly perfect. For the most part, as long as I can get it in the drawer, there might be a couple that are off. So I know that you haven't unfolded that. I know that those pants that I, you know, put in that drawer, you haven't touched, and it's okay. It's fine. I'm not your mom. I'm not going to shoot you dead. But what I am going to say is I'm trying to help you utilize what you have before you're just buying more and having to just donate stuff. I mean, you know how many bags of clothes I see? Thousands of dollars. And I'm not talking high-end stuff that people are donating or getting rid of high-end stuff, but usually they're trying to get a little bit back on some of these $3,000 fucking, you know, shoes and all this shit, that whatever. But just to see, you know, those bags, that's thousands of dollars of stuff you're bringing in to just, some of it's with tags. You didn't even know. Now maybe you don't fit in it. Or now you're like, oh, well, I don't even work there anymore. So, or I don't wear that kind of stuff anymore. And I just try to help with everybody's different. Everybody has a story, and hers is a little bit more on the shopaholic kind of range, and she'll tell me 1,000 times she knows, and I know she does, and I know she hears me. It's not changing, and I also see that it is, I know it's mentally kind of clogging her mind. I mean, she's a professor. She has a PhD. She has a lot of stuff going on in her home world, and this is like something I can help with. And when I can't help, I kind of beat myself up because I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point besides maybe build you a extra house in the back just for your clothes, but I don't even really know how to do that. So these are things that it's not just going in and making everything beautiful. Like there's so many stories and there's so many behaviors that organizers in general, not just myself, deal with. And the idea is to declutter not only your home and make it functional, but also declutter your mind. And that is the biggest challenge, is your mind. Because I will continue to say this, is a lot of times I see people's list of things to do. And if there's 5 things, if there's 25 things, if there's 2 things on that list, one of those things will always be either get organized, organize my desk, organize my closet, organize my kids' room. There's something on there and it never gets done, right? It kind of goes to the bottom because we have to work and live and keep our kids alive and all these things. And it's just so stressful. And sometimes having someone come in and help guide you is what I'm all about. It's not, yes, I can take your money. And yet she always jokes with me, well, I'm one of the reasons that you know, you're so busy and this and that. Yes, and I love helping her and she's an amazing person. It has nothing to do with that. It's just sometimes I feel like I'm trying to solve a lot of problems and I usually can. And with situations like this where the dynamic and the behaviors are not changing, it makes me feel like I'm letting her down. And I know that I'm not. I'm doing the best that I can with what we have. But I also see that there is some tension in their home, and it's for what? Like it's like let me help you, and I will continue to help her as long as she asks for it, and she always is asking for it. And I'm hoping that one day some breakthrough will happen on her end, and then I can finish doing my job And, you know, and certain people are not super, super organized. That's okay. I'm not saying she's going to walk in and, you know, everything, every shoe is going to be perfect and all of that. But I just want to make sure that she just isn't walking into chaos. And every time I go in her house, even in her office where she works from home, it's just, it's a lot of chaos. And I just try to help with that. So that was a long-winded thing about what I'm saying on closets, on just where you start, how you start, thresholds, where you begin. But again, I'm starting with closets. Closets are amazing. Closets are always a pile. I mean, I rarely see, that's where things also, you clean up your room, you throw stuff in the closet. A lot of times housekeepers, they don't know where to put stuff. They'll have it in a bag and they'll put it in the closet. And so starting with the floor, same system for the garage. I touch everything. Going through that is amazing and you feel really great. And you're like, wow, I have 17 things I didn't even know I had. Great. Now we dive into the actual closet part. And, you know, some people in these custom closets, they have like dressers built in, you know, drawers built in. Not necessarily all of them, but, you know, you have dressers in your bedroom and that. Some of the stuff you have to decide, like, what do we want hung? What do we want folded? Because, you know, it's like pajamas, underwear, socks, sure, those go in drawers. But now with like athletic wear, what they call athleisure at some point, women wear yoga pants or they wear workout pants. That's their daily uniform if they don't have to like super, you know, get ready for something. And even then, they've made athleisure, they've made it like so much more fancier than just like, oh, here's my black, you know, yoga pants. But sometimes that's 2-3 drawers because that's what women, moms are wearing every single day. Every single day. They may be a different color, different style, but it is the uniform of a mom, a uniform of today's woman, even men, they'll wear like, you know, just like, you know, I don't want to say loungy clothes, but like comfortable clothes, like a running t-shirt and like, you know, basketball shorts or a regular t-shirt and it's just whatever it is. So it's like that stuff is taking over more space. So for with women, you know, we have to decide like, hey, do we want to fold down this and then hang this because you have a lot more stuff and we can get more space out of your drawers and that type of thing. So you have to kind of make adjustments with certain things and systems and drawers and shelves and all of that. And, you know, like I said, I use the example of custom closets. It doesn't necessarily mean it was this elaborate closet. It could just be a couple hang bars, maybe a couple cubbies. It just means that someone did not just put one hang bar with one shelf on it. And we try to maximize what space you have. A lot of stuff. In her situation, the client I was talking about yesterday, she has no space in her closet. They built as high as they could go, where you can fit like a small basket, but that's it. But in some cases, in some of these closets, you have a lot of dead space. Like you'll have a hang bar and then you'll have the shelf above it. That's the perfect situation to put like your winter clothes. You've pulled it off the hanger, you've made space for it, but I got those storage bags. We're gonna put them up there. Some people like to use those like big vacuum sealed bags where it squeezes it down to like a little washcloth size, and then you open it up and it's 7,000 pounds of clothes come shooting out like a snake in a can. Or you have like people put like quilts that were, you know, from Nana Made and it was a size for like 17 beds and they squeeze it down and it's like a little tiny nothing. It's like a little thumb cover and then it expands. That's the kind of stuff you put up there on a shelf where you have a lot of dead space because you're really not going to probably get on a ladder and get that stuff down, except maybe when it's a season change or stuff maybe you don't wear as often. Winter clothes is a great example. For kids in their closet, a lot of times that dead space on top is where maybe they're getting hand-me-downs, or maybe they have, you know, their sibling is out of that size, but the sibling is, you know, the middle child is coming up in that size. You put the next size up for them. And that's some really just great dead space because you're really not putting stuff that you're using every day up there. So those are some tricks and just, you know, little things that just kind of eat the space that you're not dealing with day to day. And I also say this, will continue to say this. I always look at, if I am not going to do it, chances are you're not going to do it. I don't mean that in a kind of a weird way. I just mean, am I going to climb up 3 steps on a stepladder every day to get something down off of a shelf when I'm getting dressed? No, I don't even like doing it to switch out my purses, which I have my purses on the top shelf. I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it every day. So why am I going to put stuff up there thinking you're going to do it? And it's not a reality. So I want to make everything a reality, not picture perfect. What works for you? And sometimes you might say, you know what? I will do that. Okay, great. You can do that. But chances are you're probably not. So with a master closet, like I said, pulling everything out, starting that area, going through, maybe seeing what you have. And sometimes they're like, well, I'll return this. It doesn't even fit anymore if they can or whatever. Going through the bottom, I typically then, I pull out all that stuff. Then I start pulling out the clothes. I don't do everything all at once. No matter what I'm organizing, no matter what organizer is organizing, it is always going to be chaos in the beginning. And when I say chaos, I mean you're going to have piles, especially when you need to do a purge. Now, some people will tell me, I've already purged, like say a couple months ago, within 6 months. I just need you to, I just need it to actually be organized. And that's where the fun stuff comes in, right? You get to organize. Maybe you got some different baskets, some acrylic bins, some whatever. You did what you needed to do, but you've already purged. So we don't have to spend the time with that. So maybe the chaos is a little lighter, but it's always going to be kind of crazy that first hour or two. I pull everything out. So if it's, but I do it in quadrants. So I take maybe the top hang bar, bottom hang bar, put it on the bed. If the comforter, I pull the comforter up or put a blanket down, and that's kind of your staging area if we are purging. And again, yes, no, maybe so. Yes, no, maybe so. Yes, no. Maybe I'm not ready today. Okay, we'll keep it. See how it is in a couple. Or maybe they have something like, I have an event coming up, and if I decide to wear this dress, great. And if not, people have to talk it out. And a lot of times when they're talking it out, I realize that's them, obviously they're figuring it out in their head. But also, they're going to tell me a story about that dress. They're going to tell me a story about those shoes. And then it's like them saying goodbye to it, and they need to do that. And, I hear a lot of shit about people's clothes. I wore this on this day, and this is what I did, and it's great. I love to hear it. And then I get in my car, I listen to some techno, or I listen to some EDM, and I get it out of my head because I got my own shit in my head. But I want to hear those stories because it's your way to say goodbye, and now let's pass it on to someone else so they can enjoy it, if that's the case. And I just do staging areas. And then, maybe it's bottoms and tops, or maybe I do all tops first, whatever it is, you go through, we pick yes, no, maybe so. And then once we've done that, then the magic, the organizing is actually the fast part. It's really the purging and kind of seeing what you have. And then sometimes there'll be another secret closet where they shove, or a lot of times a guest bedroom. Oh my gosh, the guest bedroom closet also is another place where maybe gifts go or bags go of clothes. Maybe you're hiding them from your husband, or you've bought a lot of Amazon stuff and you kind of hide it. You don't even really know what it is. And they'll bring that out. And then that's a whole other thing. But it's not a quick process, the getting and seeing what you have. The organizing is the easy part. That's where I sort it and all of those things. But right now, we're tackling the everything, everywhere. People shove shit. Can I tell you, I've seen so much shit. I mean, I've seen shit that, whatever. When I say shit, I don't mean actual shit. But I mean, like, I found in a pair of shoes an envelope, and there was like $22,000 in it. She didn't even know it was there. Like, holy shit. But I found it kind of behind some, like, this shoe was like kind of fallen over and shoved in the toe. There was like $22,000 in cash in it. I have found so much stuff. People just shove shit. You hide it, you shove it, whatever. I don't care. But I just wanted to let her know, hey, I found this. Just so you know, I can leave it back in the shoe, but I want you to know this is what I found. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I hid that there like 2 years ago. Now, for me, I would remember that. I would remember if I had a shoe of $22,000. I'd probably remember if I had a shoe of $22. But you find things. I show people everything. Everything you see. There's no hiding anything. This is what I found. This is where it is. And you tell me, hey, I want to keep it hidden there. I want to have, you don't need to touch this part. Or maybe they have, stuff in a safe. I'm not obviously touching the safe, but maybe they put stuff behind the safe. I'm not touching any of that stuff. But what I am going to do is I'm going to tell them, I saw it. Do you want me to put it back there? And then we go from there. So that's kind of the beginnings of a lot of different stories that I kind of touched on in terms of everyone is personal to me. I know people's behaviors probably instantly, if not within the first couple hours, and just see how they are. they, some people want to be super involved. Some people would prefer that they, if they didn't have to purge, they would just prefer it's all beautiful and then they're gone and then they come home and ta-da. And sometimes people aren't home, but they need to purge. So what I do is I have to line stuff on the bed, take a picture, and then they'll tell me yes or no. So, you know, whatever the system is that, you know, works for you. But the purging part is something that most people need to do to some capacity in most of their house. And on that note, because closets are my absolute favorite thing, I don't want to give away all my secrets today, okay? We're going to wait till part two of closets, especially the master bedroom closets, because they're typically, you know, gigantic. And I have some great closets. And I will also include pictures on there that you can see some before and afters of some really great closets that I did in the last couple, 2-3 weeks that just bring me so much joy. I love all of the organizing, but closets and kitchens are my favorite. If I haven't said that a million times. But guess what? We're out of time today, and we're going to wait for part two for the amazing closet reveal, the second half of the closet reveal. So thank you so much for listening. And just remember, please follow, like, subscribe, so you get notifications when a next episode drops and you are cool like all of us. Thank you so much. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.